Welcome to the Fierce Female Network. I'm your host, Fierce Manson. Today is Monday, baby. Listen, you guys, it is a phenomenal Monday. It is spectacular. Listen, guys, all things really good and great and exciting is going on today. I have some great guests that's going to be on today. We are going to have a super time. Listen, there are some fantastic ladies. Let me tell you about Kristen Picot. She is president of the CJF America and Rhoda Hermino, senior vice president of special programs. Let me tell you a little bit about these ladies. Kristen has faced challenges, listen, significant challenges in her mission to support marginalized communities in the rural North Carolina area, enduring both physical and mental attacks in the process. As a survivor and advocate for domestic violence, Kristen is a board member of the nonprofit Be She, where she champions the cause of raising awareness about family abuse. She is deeply committed to shedding light on her own experience of being violently attacked by her brother. So listen, guys, listen, let me tell you, we are going to have a great in-depth conversation on today. It is going to help you. Guys, welcome to the Fierce Female Network. I'm your host, Fierce Manson, and today is Monday. I have some spectacular guests on today. We are going to talk about education. We are going to talk about healthcare, job training, economic opportunity. We are going to get down into the trenches of conversation. Listen, you guys, it's all about workforce development, GED programs, literacy services, and mobile health clinics. Let me tell y'all something. When it comes to mobile health clinics, I love talking about that. I love dicing it up so the public can know what is going on and where they can go to get some help. Listen, you guys, I don't mind telling my story. Listen, so I know how important it is to have some help and get some help. Let me tell you, when you have a people and an administration and organization that's around where you know you can go get some help, let me tell you something. It means a world of a difference. Let me tell y'all something. Let me tell you really quick. Let me tell you. Well, you probably say, what Spear is talking about? Well, listen, you guys. I remember when I stayed at Alexian Brothers Home. Listen, Alexian Brothers is an organization, non-for-profit organization, for individuals who are suffering with HIV, if they're HIV positive, or if you're suffering with homelessness, if you're suffering from different ailments. Listen, they are there for you. Guess what, y'all? I went through that program, and let me tell you something. I was really happy because I was rebuilding my life from having a ruptured brain aneurysm many years ago. And guess what? I stayed at Alexian Brothers Home, and I am telling you, I am very thankful and very grateful that they were there. So listen, let me tell you something. This is a really important show and a really important episode. Listen, y'all, let me tell you, this show is being sponsored by Steve Gum, CEO and the founder of Gumba Rum. Now, listen, I want to get on down into it, but before I do, I want you to do me a favor. While you're on Facebook, use the code The Fierce Female Network. When that page comes up, please give it a follow, and I greatly appreciate it. One moment, I'm going to be talking with Kristen and Rhoda. Come on, engineer, do your thing up in here. All right, guys. Yes, we are being heard all over the world. Thank you, Jim Mahoney, for listening in. I thank you so much. He listens to every single episode. We are being heard all over the world, Indonesia. We're being heard in Germany, the UK. We're also being heard in Bulgaria. And, of course, about 60% listeners in the United States. I really appreciate you guys listening in. Thank you so much. Listen, I have some very special ladies on today, Kristen and Rhoda. Hello, ladies. How are you?
Hi, doing very well. How are you today?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic.
Hi, how are you? This is Kristen.
Hi, I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you today?
Awesome. Doing well, thank you.
Wonderful. I love Mondays. I know everybody says, well, we don't like Monday. It's the beginning of another work week. But I always say I love Monday because I get an opportunity to have another week to do and be intentional on the things that I want to get accomplished.
Yeah, I love that outlook.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. So listen, I want to really dig into your organization. You have a nonprofit organization. Can you share a little bit with me about the work that CJ America does? Tell me a little bit about the foundation.
Yeah, so CJF America, we're based out of Durham, North Carolina, but we've been around for over 15 years now. We're part of a global foundation, the Courtney Jordan Foundation. We really focus on STEM, entrepreneurship, workforce development, GED education, and much more. So we pretty much really go with a holistic approach to providing programming and addressing all the needs of the community.
Okay, and I did see your bio and I read your bio, and it's very moving and touching, but I do want to give you an opportunity for the listening audience to share with the listening audience about your background. I know that you face some significant challenges in your mission to support communities in rural North Carolina, and I want you to tell us a little bit about your backstory so the listening audience can connect with you.
Yeah, so... That is, we definitely have had a journey in the past few years, starting out in Siler City and then now doing work in Durham and across North Carolina. There's, you know, we've had situations where we provided a whole bunch of resources to the community. We donated a whole bunch of resources to the high school there in Siler City. We took students on trips as well, field trips, and we did a whole bunch of work, but we even were partnering with another organization to come in to provide pay for teachers in addition to also provide almost a day to school, but at the high school there, but that was blocked as well. So there was just always something that it seemed so many challenges just to give away money.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate your input. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing in North Carolina. I think it's very important. A lot of individuals do need, you know, that type of support. And I would think that a lot of people consider you as their support system. Would you say the same as far as being an advocate for, especially when it comes to domestic violence, when it comes to education and literacy services? Think that you're a type of undergirding a support system because some families may have only a one parent home, and I think that you're an undergirding mm-hmm. that's helping to be a foundation for families.
Yeah, so it's whenever we go into a community, we get to know the community and kind of understand what the needs are, and really it could be from anything, and it is really looking, especially families in particular, just whether it be food, clothing, and you spoke about the literacy component as well. We have donated several libraries in communities across North Carolina just to increase access to books, you know, something that's thrown away by many people every year, end up in landfills. We're able to really provide books to the communities and, you know, give them life too as well. So it is one of those things that we're definitely working also with other organizations to address, if we're not able to address the need, to working with an outside organization to bring those resources as well. But it's definitely, it takes a village.
Absolutely. I think I heard you say that you've donated several libraries.
Yes, ma'am. So our libraries include books, as well as access to our DVDs as well that people could take. And with this is, in the communities that we've been in that have donated to, the people, they can take the books as well and they can keep them. There's plenty of supply of books out there, and also the DVDs. And I've been there where the kids come in like, oh, can I have this? Like, yeah, sure, go ahead and take it. But and just having there and just seeing them, their eyes lighten up just reading a book is just fascinating, that they get to go into another world. And something that I grew up, you know, during my time, is an escape for me to really read and kind of go into a different realm, pretty much. It's something that I value. It's something that I really have taken to our initiative, Educate America, with donating these libraries in various communities and underserved areas.
You know, that's really valuable. That is so valuable, because it's adding so much to young people's lives. I'll tell you, when you said DVDs, it really took me back. And I said, oh, man, I remember when me and a friend of mine, even as a young adult, I love going to the library. It's just my thing. I always have loved the library. And a friend of mine, we would always go to the library in Forest Park. And I'm telling you, I love when you said, just watching their eyes light up. That's the way we were when we saw DVDs. We would rent DVDs and take it home. We thought we had hit the lottery. We really did. It was just a treat to be able to go in and pick out different items, the DVDs and some of the other things they had. And magazines, I just enjoy reading. They had newspapers from everywhere. And I think it's just, I love to explore. And I think it's a great thing. And I also thought about my niece. When she was small, she loved books, and she still does. She's very bright, always a straight-A student, and she would love me to read. My mother would buy books, and we would read books to her during the holiday when she was little. So, you know, that's something we have to instill in children at a young age, that reading is a great way to, of course, learn and to really learn about different cultures, to be able to experience different types of areas in the world. For instance, if you've ever been to Europe, a child can explore and learn about Europe from reading about it in a book or other materials that's at the library.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's something that I really put a lot of value in, because and there's something to just holding a book. And I know, like, with technology nowadays, and I'm definitely an advocate for technology and STEM, but just holding a book and just really having it in your hands and just being able to go through the pages and really immerse yourself is something, too, that I definitely enjoy providing to the communities.
Absolutely. You know, I'm very old school that way, too. I know, you know, we have Audible and we can read books with our smart devices and things like that, but I enjoy holding the book in my hand and turning the pages. There's no experience like it.
I agree.
Yes. Also, I love that you have GED programs as well. I used to work with a principal, a young lady. She had her own school, and her school specifically was dedicated to high school students that did not graduate from high school, and she would help them to get their GED going through her program. And so that's very important as well. But I want to, if it's okay, may I ask you, both of you, Kristen and Rhoda, about the mobile health clinic?
Yeah, so that's definitely something I'm going to let Rhoda speak more on, but it's really bringing access to health to the community. Rhoda, if you want to speak more on to that.
Sure, yes. So our mobile buses are really for people to have direct access to primary care services, that also have access to x-ray devices and things that you would have in a traditional hospital setting, but now it's directly in the heart of their communities. So remove barriers like transportation or not having access to services that you may need directly in your community. So the mobile buses are really to traverse that barrier and allow people to have just direct access to these services, so they don't have to worry about having to get to the hospital or any other barriers like having to get on the bus. So this service is really to address those issues.
Okay. I do understand, because it can be a challenge. If a family doesn't have a vehicle, or maybe they don't have money to get the bus to get to the doctor's office, and with the mobile services that you have, I think that bringing it to the community is really excellent, because they can get medical treatment right there on the mobile bus.
Correct, yes.
And can you tell me a little bit about some of your partners? I know that you do partner, the Period Movement?
Yeah, so the Period Movement is something that I got involved in last year, and kind of the foundation, we ended up working with them and providing, we donated about 10,000 Period products last year across North Carolina. We gave some for them as well to, you know, give out. But it is something that we, I think it's, you know, growing up and just, you know, going through a miscarriage myself, you know, sometimes it's never fun to be without, right? It is very true. Like, and it's the worst times too. So I think just having access to those, and I think it was a 1 in 4 young women have gone to have missed school because of lack of access to products. And really the period movement is just across North Carolina as part of the larger across the U.S. movement to period power. And we really advocate for increasing access to feminine hygiene products and just really also education as well. Because I think there's, you know, even when I was in Siler City, we donated a whole bunch of period products to the school over there as well, and just really making sure that we're giving access to those individuals. Just because, especially in areas where, you know, if you're missing school, that's never a good thing. And especially something that's easily that we can provide a solution for is something we definitely want to make sure that the kids are going to school. So,
absolutely. You know, I really must admit, I always tell everyone, they know that I'm very transparent when I come on. And so really, I'm about to be, y'all hold on. Hold on to your feet, because I'm about to be very transparent at this moment. Listen, and when I had saw the period movement, I was saying to myself, what is that? You know, I'm like, what is that? Y'all, I'm pretty old. I haven't seen a period in like my late 30s. You know what I mean? So I'm like, now, wait a minute. What is the period? I thought it was an organization. So listen, guys, I was just being transparent. So listen, when it comes to the period movement, and I can tell you many years ago when I was in my 20s, I would gather different things, and some of the girls in the community, I grew up, you know, in a lower class community on the west side of Chicago. It wasn't a great environment, and you had a lot of girls that was trying to make money. You know what I'm saying? They were working and doing things on the corner. Know what I'm saying? And so I would stop my car on along Madison Avenue. There'd be a lot of young girls out trying to talk to gentlemen, callers. And so I would have in my little Ziploc bags, I would have, because, you know, they did not have feminine products. I would have some bar of soap, be a little towel, and things like that, some deodorant, and give that to them. And so I could get an opportunity to talk to them and connect with them and try to find a little bit of what was going on, pray with them, you know, and give them some things that they need for their daily living. And so I understand what you mean when it comes to that, because sometimes young ladies don't have the necessary means to get those products.
Yeah, it's something like even in Durham, we've actually handed out these little care package called CGS care packages that basically in it's like a few hygiene products, but as well, like you're saying, deodorant, some wipes in addition, just, you know, just things that would be helpful just if, you know, if you need, you know, if you need to, if you're during your period. So it was definitely, it's one of those things that I think a lot of people, again, I don't think anyone should ever be without. So that's really amazing that you did that. And I think that, I don't know how many times have you ever been into like a bathroom and someone's like, oh, I need a product, and it happens all the time. So I always keep something on me too, just so that if anyone ever needs anything, that I can, you know, hand them out.
Absolutely. You know, I know exactly what you mean. Sometimes the machine may not have anything, and you need something. It's like, oh, what do I do? You know, and so if you have something in your purse, you can offer to help the young lady that's in the bathroom. It is the, you know, ladies in the bathroom, you're able to share and talk to the person. Oh, I have something. Here you go. And they're so very appreciative.
Yeah, I've worked in some schools before, especially with the foundation, and I remember there was one out in Chatham County, and those teachers would just like provide products to the kids. And actually there was one ambitious, well, she was a junior at the time that she started, but it's basically like a period club, and she would like, her and a few other kids would tie like little ribbons on their backpacks to know that they had products available. And it was really amazing that just to see like almost like a grassroots solution to such a big societal issue.
You know, that's a really neat idea to put a ribbon and then let them know that you have products. That's a great thing. You know, when you were talking about that, my aunt, she worked for Chicago public school system. Her mm-hmm. whole career, she's always worked at the school. And she didn't have any children. And she would always treat the children like they were her own. She would get so close to the kids. She would love on them. Some of the children didn't have some of the things that they needed. And one time we went to, I think it was Office Depot. And she was looking around and shopping. She was getting rulers, crayons. And I'm like, what's she doing? She said, well, I'm getting things because some students don't have supplies. And what I do is I buy supplies. And she said, you'd be surprised sometimes a child doesn't have a belt and they need a belt. And she would go back, you know, to school, go to work the next day, and she would give it to the children. And she was always just so loving, loving on the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm. It is, you know, that's amazing. I love hearing stories like that, too, because it's like, something that we've noticed. Like, we started out, like, in the community as doing entrepreneurship, STEM, but we've mm-hmm. actually expanded as we just really addressing all the needs. And I think Rhoda can also speak more. So we have clothing closets in the community centers that we start, just because it's important, just so that people have access to clothing. But I know we have seen where children, like, get bullied at school just because of the clothing that they have, or it may not fit right. So I know that Rhoda, you can speak more to that, just being able to address that need. But it's something that you think, I know right now a lot of people are getting rid of clothing. It's that time of year, right? New year, new me. Let me clean out my closet. But it's something, as we do so, I know that we're getting clothing items in as well. But it's something that we can just give back to the community. It's something that we're already, we have plenty of to do so. So,
absolutely. You know, and I think that school is a very special place, because when you're in school, you know, from preschool all the way up to when you graduated from high school, especially mm-hmm. when you're in grade school, sometimes a child may feel shy because they don't have something. Mm-hmm. And if they can feel that they can ask a student or ask a teacher for something that they need, I think it helps to give them self-confidence, self-esteem. Maybe they're feeling a little shy because some of the other students have what they need. Maybe they don't have it. They can ask the teacher, or if the teacher sees that they have a need, they can, you know, attend to that child. And it helps that child to feel better and to fit in than their, you know, with their classmates.
That is very true. It's something that we definitely have seen.
Yes, and I would agree with that. I would say from my work with the communities and working directly with the children, just something like finding a cool t-shirt with a cool design, I could just see their eyes light up, and then they're so excited the next day to go to school. Or finding even something like a cute little purse that they can put their stuff in, it just really brings like a different value to their, just the way they present themselves, and you see them carrying themselves differently. And I think that's one of my favorite aspects of this job, just seeing like that instant change in someone, just from something as small as like a t-shirt or a book bag. It just makes such a big impact.
Yes, it does. It really does. You know, and I also want to ask Kristen, either one of you, if you want to answer the question, in regard to being a board member of the nonprofit organization, Be She, how does that work together with your organization, and what part do they play, the Be She organization?
So, yeah, so I'm part of the board for Be She, and Be She is a nonprofit that advocates for survivors of domestic violence in North Carolina. So, really, I know from personal experience going through familial violence is something that's not talked about a lot, but even if it comes from a family member, even if you share blood or a name, it's still abuse, and, you know, abuse is abuse, and it's not good. So what we do is, with all our programming, we really instill helping people find their passion in life, their purpose in life, really bringing all the resources available to help them find that as well, and really see it come realization. But we also, with having resources available at the community center, if anyone needs to report or seek more help, just to have that readily available. Because I think that there's a lot of resources and information out there, but to be able to have a location for someone to go to when they don't know where to go is so important. And just letting people know that you're there for them. You're not there to judge them. You're not there to question them. You're not there to tell them what to do. You're there to tell them the options they have, let them know, and really help guide them through the process and getting them the most beneficial resources that are out there available for them to find a solution.
Mm, absolutely. You know, and sometimes whoever is being abused, whether it's a girl or a male, you know, whether it's mm-hmm. a female or a male, sometimes they don't know. They want help, but they don't know where to go. They don't know if they can go or have the willpower to go. You know, there's a lot of things that there's a lot of dynamics that play along with that, because if there's a safe place, as you mentioned with Bishi, if there's a safe place that they know they can go, they won't be judged, they can get help, you know, the help that they need. I think that's, of course, an absolutely wonderful thing. There was a young girl, and I didn't really know her, but she was dating someone. She was in her teens, and she was being abused by her boyfriend. You know, and sometimes we see that growing up, if you are from a low-income community and you don't want to get involved, you know, and sometimes you want to say something, but we didn't have a place where you say, hi, you know, you can go to this place and get help. But having this particular organization is a great thing. And I know that there's another organization for runaways. I think it's called, here in Chicago, it's called Night Ministry, where teens sometimes is going through abuse in the home from maybe a father that's drinking, and there's some type of abuse, and a teen, you know, will run away from home. They can go to the Night Ministry and they can seek shelter there, and they can be safe, you know, and they're not being judged on what's going on in home.
That's actually incredible to hear, because I think it's something that just to have those spaces for people to go to and get these resources. And I definitely, from my work with Bishi, but also just really looking at resources myself, there's not many out there, at least where I'm at, where I know that many homes and stuff for people just to get help for. And I think too, is a lot of times what ends up happening, it gets excused, or people are like, oh, it's someone that loves you, et cetera. But there's a difference between love and difference between what abuse is, right? And it can come in all different forms. It could be financial, physical, mental, emotional. So I think that people just because if someone may not be violent towards you physically doesn't mean that it's not abuse. So I think it's amazing that these resources exist, and definitely Shankwella with Bishi, she does amazing things with people and survivors and advocating in the court system, and just having somewhere going through the process, because it's very scary if you've never been through the court process, it's something that's very intimidating, right? And just to have an advocate there for you is so crucial.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, I also wanted to add that through our initiative through CJS America, I know I talked about the healthcare aspect. We, like Kristen was saying, we also want to promote like mental health awareness as well. So we do have on-site social workers who are able to provide like therapy support. And I think, again, just directly having this resource directly in the heart of the communities, it just really encourages people to seek out the resources where they don't have to feel like scared or feel like that they don't have anyone to depend on. Just knowing that they can contact CJS America or go directly to the social worker, I think that really helps to break down that barrier as well in under-resourced communities as well.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the person doesn't have to feel embarrassed. You know, sometimes a person may feel embarrassed and don't want to go for help, but if they know there's somewhere they can go, it's a judge-free, you know, it's just like, I want to share this quick story, and then I got to take a 2 or 3 minute break. I'm going to break, and then we're going to come back and have a conversation. I go to a therapist. I have a lymphatic system that's kind of doing its own thing these days. So I go to a therapist, and what she does, it's a massage therapist, and she works out. It's a different type of thing, but what she does, she works on my body, she does massage, she does different type of things to get my lymphatic system moving and cleaned out and get it detoxed. My point of this story is this. When I first go in and she says to me, what do you want to do today? What do you want to work on today? And then she says, this is a judge-free zone. So whatever you say here, it's safe and you're not being judged. And so when someone says the word, it is, you're not being judged, I'm judgmental, it gives you such a relief that you know you're with someone that is going to protect you, whatever you say, whatever health problem you may have, you know it's not going anywhere else, and they're there to help you and comfort you.
That is so true, honestly. Just having someone that can understand, too, as well, and someone that has that, just that knowledge, too, and just to make you feel comfortable to share what you're going through. It also, you're able to really provide adequate treatment, too, and also solutions to that so that you're addressing all of the problems. So I think you're so correct on that.
So right now I'm going to take just a short break. I have a little bit of music. The name of the song is We Need a Revolution. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to have some more conversation, about another 10 minutes of conversation, and then we're going to wrap up. I want to talk a little bit after the music, if we can share about job training and health care, and also perhaps we can touch on a little bit if individuals in North Carolina want to get involved, where they can come to get involved. So that's what we're going to do for the continuing next 10 minutes of the episode. A little music, the break, and then come back and talk about some other subjects.
Let me tell you, we need a revolution. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. Peace and equality will never be. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. We need a revolution. Equality and restoration is upon me. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. Hate crime and murder lie in our streets. Proud Boys storming the White House. We're no longer free. They tell me Roe versus Wade stood up and revolted on me. Blood, sin, and desperation is running our streets. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, ancestral drums are calling out to me. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. We need a revolution. Biden bends his back and pass laws from above. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. We need a revolution. Sawed off shotguns, pistols and rifles rule our streets. Let me tell you, we need a revolution. Let me tell you, We need a revolution.
We need a revolution. Let me tell you. Need a revolution.
All right, that was We Need a Revolution. Up next is Adrian's song by the incredible J-Sound.
Thank you.
All right. This Adrian song by the incredible Jay Sound. Now, I wanted to turn back to the conversation. I want to switch gears just a little bit. And Rhoda, I want to ask you, can you explain how Cornerstone America's smart hubs work and why they're so essential for underserved communities?
Sure. So our approach allows easy access to these services, and our community centers, like we said, are located within the under-resourced communities. So members of these communities may not have access to these educational and occupational opportunities, but these services can be completely life-changing. And just the fact that we're able to provide them directly at the heart of these communities, it traverses the many barriers that people may have. And we're just very glad that these communities are very welcoming of us, and people are very interested in enrolling in our courses. And I think that the most prominent program we probably have is a code school. A lot of people are very interested because there are many aspects of coding. And just speaking to the young people in the community, they really gravitate toward wanting to do complete the program and then go on from there to work for tech companies or start their own company. So I think the Smart Hubs, they just operate in a way that's accessible to everyone. And there are just so many aspects of them that people gravitate toward. And even our GED course, people want to take that so they can continue education or even enroll in other aspects of our services as well.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. I really do appreciate that. Also, I want to ask if there may be individuals that's listening to the program, how would they reach out, or if individuals want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to connect with you? For instance, if they wanted to donate to the organization, or if someone lives there in North Carolina, where would they find your location? How can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so we have a website. It's cjfamerica.org, and we have a section there where people can reach out to us directly for any donations, or if they want to reach out to us directly for anything else, that's a great way to reach out to us. We're also on Facebook and Instagram, and people can reach out to us there directly as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. I really do appreciate that. And also, we're running a little bit short on time, but I do want to give both of you an opportunity. If you have any closing statements to wrap up, I really appreciate if you wanted to go and give some final remarks and last words. Go right ahead, please.
Yeah, so thank you again for having us on here. It's been great talking about CJF America and also Cornerstone America and all that we do and the communities that we serve. So again, just to add on to Rhoda, what Rhoda said, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us on our website, but also our email is info@cjfamerica.org.
Wonderful. Thank you. I really appreciate both of you being on. It was a very stimulating conversation. I learned a lot. And I really think that your program is one that is needed, you know, in North Carolina and a lot of other communities. Are there any, matter of fact, while I'm saying that, are there any other locations for the future that you plan on building in other areas?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Sorry, Kristen, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was going to say our intention is to be in every housing authority within North Carolina. So we want to reach the eastern, northern, central part. And like I said before, we're in talks with other large housing authorities to come in and provide these services as well.
Wonderful. I think that's awesome. I know that your service is needed, you know, all throughout North Carolina. And I think the service is needed, you know, very much so. A lot of families need this type of service. I'm very glad that you're out there. I'm really appreciate. I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I want to commend you for doing the work that you're doing. It's needed. And I know you're reaching a lot of different people and making a difference. You're making a huge difference in different families' lives. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And again, thank you so much for having us on.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. So listen, you guys, I am pretty much out of time. Thank you so much once again for being on. I enjoyed the conversation. I learned a lot about your organization, and I really appreciate both of you for what you're doing. And I want to thank you for making a difference I believe in making a difference in different individuals' lives and different families. So thank you so much for being that village. You know, you're part of a village, a positive village, a safe village where individuals can come to get the help that they need. So guys, I'm pretty much out of time. Thank you so much for all tuning in and listening. I really do appreciate it. It's been superlicious good, but guess what? I'll be back on tomorrow to do it all over again.
In the special words of Don Kniez, the man that made Soul Train what it was in the winter city, it is peace, love, and
you motivated. You motivated. You winning, winning. You know they hate it. Hold up.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.